Good morning, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to minister the Word of God to you. It is always my privilege to be able to serve the Lord in this way. And also I'd like to mention that our prayers will be with you for those brothers and sisters in Christ who are not well that you have mentioned. And we also be praying for Pastor Key and Mrs. Key in their traveling. I pray that God will bring them back safely into our midst. And God willing, I would like to some messages from the book of 1 Timothy. And so I'd like to begin with verse 1 of 1 Timothy. And I've entitled today's message as Christ, Jesus Christ, our hope. Now, 1 Timothy is a book in the New Testament of the Bible, and it's attributed to the Apostle Paul. And it is addressed to Timothy, his son in the faith. And Timothy is also a young pastor in the early church. The book is considered as one of the pastoral epistles or letters, along with 2 Timothy and Titus, which are written by Paul to provide guidance and instruction to his trusted son in the faith, as I mentioned, Timothy, and other people, perhaps also in the ministry. This letter begins with Paul's expression of his gratitude for his son in the faith, Timothy's faithful service, and encouraging him to remain steadfast in the faith. Paul then proceeds to address various issues and concerns related to the church in Ephesus, where Timothy was stationed. He offers practical advice on matters of leadership, church organization, and proper conduct for both men and women in the congregation. Throughout 1 Timothy, Paul emphasizes the importance of sound doctrine and proper teaching of the gospel. He warns against false teachings and encourages Timothy to confront those who promote false doctrines. Paul also provides guidelines for the appointment of church leaders, including qualifications for overseers or elders and deacons. The letter touches on themes such as prayer, the role of women in the church, the use of wealth, and the pursuit of godliness. Paul emphasizes the importance of commitment, faithfulness, and the pursuit of righteousness. He urges Timothy to persevere in his ministry and to be a faithful example to the believers in Ephesus. Overall, this book serves as a practical guide for church leadership, addressing the challenges and responsibilities faced by early Christian communities. It provides insight into the organization and structure of the early church and offers timeless principles that continue to guide believers today. In this opening verse, which is rather short, just one verse, it says the Apostle Paul, he refers to Jesus Christ as our hope. And the verse reads, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Here Paul acknowledges Jesus Christ as the source of their hope in our hope. This verse highlights the fact that Jesus brings hope to believers through his life, his death and resurrection. Indeed, our Lord is the fulfillment of God's promises and embodiment of hope for salvation and eternal life. Throughout the New Testament, Jesus is often described as the foundation of hope for believers. He offers hope by providing forgiveness of sins, reconciliation with God, and the assurance of our future resurrection. The hope found in Jesus extends beyond this present life, offering a confident expectation of being with Him forever in heaven. As I have mentioned earlier, this letter was written by Paul to Timothy, his son in the faith, and his fellow servant or co-laborer, to encourage him to remain steadfast in the faith and in the ministry. By emphasizing Jesus as their hope, Paul reminds Timothy of the foundation of faith and the source of their strength in fulfilling his calling. Overall, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, underscores the central role of Jesus Christ in the Christian faith as the embodiment of hope and the focal point of believers' trust and expectation. So there are three things I would like to share with you this morning based on the word hope, down at the end of the verse. First, Jesus, our hope of redemption. This means our Lord came into this world to save us from our sins and to redeem us from the wrath of God. Jesus tells us in, John tells us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 to 10, he said, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." In his sacrificial death on the cross, Jesus paid the price for our sins, reconciling us with God and offering us the hope of redemption. So no matter how broken or lost we may feel, Jesus offers forgiveness and the promise of new life in him. As late R.C. Sproul observed, and some of you are quite familiar with him, and he said, I quote, "We are not only broken, we are shattered. And yet in the face of our brokenness, we find hope in the redeeming power of Christ," unquote. I want to mention an example from church history, which will not be unfamiliar, for maybe some other preachers might have mentioned him a couple of times, and you might, and for those who love church history, will know his name very well. His name is Augustine. And Augustine's sinful youth and his subsequent encounter with Jesus Christ as a source of redemption and hope is a central theme in his spiritual journey. As recounted in his autobiography and Confessions, during his early years, Augustine led a life characterized by indulgence in worldly pleasures and pursuit of sensual desires. He engaged in various vices or bad habits and struggled with his own inner conflicts, searching for fulfillment and meaning. However, Augustine's encounter with the Christian faith and the teachings of Jesus Christ proved to be life-changing for him. One crucial moment in Augustine's life was his conversion to the faith, which occurred when he was in his early 30s. The turning point for his conversion was his encounter with a renowned bishop and theologian, Ambrose of Milan, whose sermons and intellectual discussions deeply influenced Augustine's thinking. Through Ambrose's teachings and study of the scriptures, Augustine began to recognize the path of his own sinfulness and the need for redemption in Jesus Christ. As a result, Christ became the beacon of hope and the catalyst for Augustine's conversion. In his work, as I mentioned, Confessions, Augustine reflects on his personal struggle with sin and the overwhelming sense of guilt and shame that plagued him. He acknowledges his desperate need for God's forgiveness and mercy. Augustine finds solace and comfort in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, who offers the gift of salvation and new life in him. Augustine's encounter with Jesus not only brought him forgiveness, but also instilled within him a renewed and newfound sense of purpose and direction. He experienced a radical transformation of heart and mind as he began to reflect his affections toward God and seek a deeper relationship with him. Augustine's journey from sin to redemption became a testament to the transformative power of Jesus' gospel. Throughout his writings, Augustine emphasizes the central role of Jesus Christ in his spiritual journey. He explores profound theological concepts such as the nature of sin, the human longings for God, and the role of grace in salvation. Augustine's understanding of Jesus as the ultimate source of hope and redemption continues to resonate with many Christians today. As Augustine later confessed, I quote, he said, "Though we may be broken and lost in our sin, God's grace is greater than our failures." And he goes on to say, he offers us the gift of salvation not based on our own merit, but solely on his mercy and love, unquote. Augustine acknowledges that as human beings, we are prone to sin and make many mistakes, falling into wrongdoings and experiencing a sense of spiritual brokenness. We often struggle with our imperfections and failures, feeling separated from God. He also emphasizes that despite of our shortcomings, God's grace surpasses our ability to fall short. His grace is an expression of his unconditional love and unmerited favor toward us. And that's God's grace. It is a divine gift that goes beyond our deserving, forgiving our sins and offering us the opportunity for redemption and restoration. And the gift of salvation refers to the ultimate act of God's grace. Salvation is the deliverance from the consequences of sin and the restoration of our relationship with God, our Maker. It is a free gift extended to us through Jesus Christ, as Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse 23.
the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And through his sacrificial death and resurrection, he redeemed and reconciled his people with God. Augustine's sinful youth and subsequent encounter with Christ serves as a powerful testimony of redemption and hope we have in Christ Jesus. His journey from a life of indulgence and moral struggle to a life of faith and transformation showcases the power of the gospel of Christ and the hope that is found in him and only in him. So how is Jesus our hope? First, he is our hope of redemption. Second, Jesus is also our hope of strength. Isaiah 40 verse 31, and some of you, this verse may be your favorite verse. And it said, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Battling with his own physical infirmities, Paul received a revelation from Christ and remembered and said that Jesus said to him, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." When we feel weak and incapable of doing anything, let us remember that Jesus is our strength. He promises to be with us always, empowering us to overcome challenges and obstacles that come our way. We can rely on his strength and to persevere through trials, to resist temptation, and to accomplish his purposes for our lives. One notable example is the story of Perpetua and Felicity. We may not know these two ladies very well in the church history. There are two Christian martyrs who were executed in the city of Carthage, present-day Tunisia, in the year 203 AD. Perpetua was a young noblewoman and a nursing mother, while Felicia was her pregnant slave. Despite their different social status and standings, they both shared a strong commitment to their faith in Christ. Perpetua and Felicity were imprisoned for their refusal to renounce their faith in Christ. During their time in prison, they faced immense pressure from their families, friends, and even Roman authorities to renounce Jesus and offer sacrifices to Roman gods. However, they remained steadfast in their faith, finding hope and strength in Jesus' promise of eternal life. Perpetua kept a diary during her imprisonment, providing valuable insights into her spiritual journey and challenges that she faced. She is described in her diary vividly the emotional struggle of leaving behind her infant son and the temptations to renounce her faith for the sake of her family. In one particular poignant moment, Perpetua's father pleaded with her to renounce Christ, but she responded this way.
in the following. And he said, Father, of course not with a voice like that, and I can't imitate her voice because I'm a man, so bear with me. He said, Father, do you see this vessel pointing to a container, a water container? He said, water pot or whatever it may be, she said, can it be called by any other name than what it is? And she goes on to say, so also can I call myself nothing else than what I am, a Christian. Just like the water pot analogy, I think Perpetua is trying to say to her father that her identity as a Christian is unique and specific. And she did not see herself anything else other than a Christian. And she would die to preserve the identity. So despite the intense persecution, Perpetua and Felicity faced their impending martyrdom with courage and hope. They were thrown into the arena where the Romans enjoy watching Christians getting ripped off and eaten by a wild beast. And such as lions and tigers and other beasts in those days, it was their entertainments of the Romans to see Christians getting killed in the arena. However, in the face of imminent death, they remained resolute in their faith, praying for their enemies and forgiving those who persecuted them. Their unwavering hope in Jesus' promises sustained them until their last breath. The story of Perpetua and Felicity, along with countless other early Christian martyrs, demonstrate how Jesus became their ultimate source of hope and strength in the face of extreme challenges and obstacles. Their unwavering faith and courage continue to inspire many Christians today, reminding them that even in the midst of adversity, Jesus is the anchor of our hope, who enables them to overcome any obstacles. As Charles Spurgeon wrote, he said, Jesus is our strength in times of weakness. And he goes on to say, our comfort in times of sorrow, and our refuge in times of trouble. In him, he said, we find the unwavering support we need to navigate the challenges of life. Unquote. Jesus is our strength in times of weakness means that when we feel vulnerable, overwhelmed, or lacking the necessary power to face life's difficulties, we can rely on Jesus for inner strength. Through our faith in him, we draw upon his divine power, which empowers us to persevere, find courage, and overcome our weaknesses. Jesus is our comfort in times of sorrow indicates that during periods of grief, sadness, and emotional pain, Jesus provides solace and consolation. He understands our sorrows and offers his loving presence, compassion, and empathy to help us find healing and peace. Jesus is our refuge in times of trouble means that when we encounter various trials and crises, Jesus becomes our safe
haven,
our refuge. We can seek refuge in His arms, finding shelter in Him, protection and guidance amidst the storms of our lives or your life.
He offers wisdom, direction, and a sense of security to navigate through difficult circumstances.
In Him, we find unwavering support means that Jesus is a constant presence in our lives, providing the strength, comfort, and refuge we need to face any situation. By trusting in Him and relying on His grace, we find hope, peace, and the resilience to overcome life's challenges. So how is Jesus our hope? First, Jesus is our hope of redemption. Second, Jesus is our hope of strength. And third, Jesus is our hope of eternal life. Now, having said this, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we must be reminded that the hope we have in Jesus extends beyond this earthly life. Our Lord Jesus said in John chapter 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believed in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." He has conquered death and offers us the assurance of eternal life with Him. This hope gives us comfort in the face of death, knowing that our souls will be with Him in paradise the moment we leave this earth. It also reminds us to live each day with an eternal perspective, focusing on what truly matters in light of eternity. Our Lord Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 6, He said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." The Apostle Paul also reminds us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He said, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Indeed, our Lord gives us hope and comfort, especially in the face of death. His teachings and the promise of eternal life provide solace and assurance to believers. One inspiring story I like to mention from church history that highlights this hope and faith in the midst of death is that of Polycarp. And some of you again may know his name. Polycarp was a bishop of Smyrna, an ancient city in present-day Turkey, during the 2nd century AD. Actually, he was a disciple of the Apostle John and played a significant role in the early Christian community. Yes, that Apostle John, one of the 12 disciples, all apostles of Jesus Christ, and he was actually his direct disciple. Yeah. Polycarp's steadfast commitment to his faith and unwavering dedication to Christ made him a respected figure among many Christians. As the Roman Empire began to persecute Christians, Polycarp faced increasing pressure to renounce his faith, just like Perpetua and Felicity. However, he refused to yield and remained devoted to Jesus, even in the face of death. So when Roman authorities arrested him and demanded that he deny his beliefs and offer sacrifices to the Roman gods, and he replied the following, according to many historical accounts, and he said, and this is his famous words, he said, 86 years have I served him, and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my king who saved me? Unquote. So you know at what age he dies. He died at age 86. And despite the threats and the option to spare his life, it is simple. He just had to renounce his faith in Christ. Polycarp chose martyrdom for his faith. On the day of his execution, and as he was about to be burned at the stake, and this time, you know, they killed Christians in those days in many different ways. Some got thrown into the arena, eaten by beasts. Some get burned at the stake. Some got decapitated. Some got drowned and got thrown into the rivers in the sackcloth. Many different ways. So, and a lot of them got tortured severely with all kinds of tools and contraptions before they even get executed. So it's not easy to be Christians in those days. So on the day of his execution, as he was about to be burned at the stake, Polycarp fervently prayed, giving thanks to God for the privilege of sharing in the suffering of Christ. So he said, it is my privilege to be suffering with Jesus Christ. The flames miraculously did not consume him, according to some accounts. Leading witnesses to describe it as though he was surrounded by a wall of fire, but untouched by its power. Eventually, when his persecutors saw that his body could not be consumed by the fire, they commanded an executioner to pierce him with a dagger. So he died. Although he still died for his faith, Polycarp's unwavering faith and courage in the face of death inspired many believers who witnessed his martyrdom. His example serves as a powerful testimony to the hope and comfort that Jesus provides even in the most challenging circumstances. Polycarp's story echoes the words of the Apostle Paul, who said from Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Through the examples of Polycarp and countless other faithful followers throughout history of the church, we are reminded that Jesus offers hope beyond death, beyond this life. Jesus assures us of eternal life and gives us the strength to face any trials or persecution with courage and faith. As Jonathan Edwards wrote, he said, "Eternity to the godly is a day that has no sunset. Eternity to the wicked is a night that has no sunset. Sun
sunrise. Rather. I read it again. Eternity to the godly is a day that is no sunset. Eternity to the wicked is a night that is no sunrise. Edward here described the hope of eternal life in contrasting terms. For believers, eternal life is a never-ending day of joy and communion with God. I think that's what he meant. However, for those who reject Christ, it is a never-ending night devoid of light and hope. In conclusion, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus is our hope. Our hope of redemption, our hope of strength, and our hope of eternal life. As we face the trials and tribulations of this world, let us fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. As John Calvin said, Christ is not valued at all unless he is valued above all. In the saying, Calvin emphasized the supremacy of Jesus Christ in salvation. He taught that true value and hope can only be found in Christ, as he alone is the source of eternal life. And my dear friends, I'm speaking to those who are still outside of God's kingdom. We live in a broken world, filled with pain and suffering because of sin. Many try to find hope and fulfillment in various things like success, relationships, possessions, and worldly pleasures. But they always leave empty. Even more empty than ever before. But God, in his infinite love for us, sent his only begotten Son, Lord Jesus Christ, to bring us hope. To bring hope to the hopeless. Jesus came to offer us a way out of our brokenness and a path to eternal life, which we do not deserve. He lived a perfect and sinless life, and out of his immense love, he was willing to lay down his life on the cross to redeem his people. On the cross, Jesus took upon himself not only the punishment of sin, but he took upon the wrath of God upon sinners. He paid a price that we could never pay on our own. 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. Conquering sin and death, in his resurrection, he offers all those who believe on him with hope of eternal life and salvation. So, if you're still not yet a Christian, I pray that you will repent from your sins of unbelief, which is the greatest sins that anyone can commit against God, the sin of unbelief. And I urge you to place your faith in Jesus Christ so that your sins will be forgiven and be reconciled to God. And when you become a child of God, you will be indwelled with the Holy Spirit of God, and the Spirit will empower you to live a life of purpose and hope. And then Jesus will become your anchor in the storms of your life. He will become your strength and a source of strength in times of weakness, and your eternal hope that nothing and no one can take away. So I'll leave that with you. May God bless you. Let us pray. Dear Father, we acknowledge that we live in a broken and sinful world, but we find hope in Thee and in Thee alone. Thou art the source of our hope and the anchor of our souls. Lord Jesus, we are grateful for thy sacrifice on the cross and the hope thou hast given us through your life, your death, and resurrection. Thou art the embodiment of hope, and we find solace and comfort in thy everlasting love and grace. In times of uncertainty and despair, help us to look to thee for guidance and assurance. We pray for those among us who are facing difficult circumstances, those who are sick, grieving, or struggling with various challenges. We ask for thy healing touch, comfort, and strength to be upon them. May they experience thy peace that surpasses all understanding, which the world cannot give. Help us to trust in thy plans and purposes, even when we cannot fully comprehend them. May thy hope shine brightly in our lives, drawing others to thee, and so that they may also receive the same hope of redemption, strength, and eternal life in thee. Pray that you'll help us also to be a beacon of hope in a world that desperately needs it by sharing the gospel of Christ faithfully to those who are still lost and dying in their sins. We pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.